Greetings, greetings once again to all my enemies and all my friends. You may have heard the news, but stand by now for the worldview. That's right, it is the Weekly Worldview. I am your humble host, Doug McBurney, here deep in the bowels of the boiler room here at the McBurney compound, joined in studio, as always, by my extremely attractive audio engineer, where we put on the show, where we don't take calls and we don't tolerate sponsors, but we do focus on the events of the week through the lens of original thought, and it's good to have you back aboard. It's good to be back aboard. Well, it's just good to be alive. And thank you for tuning in. I have to give an update. Well, a couple of updates. I need to talk about the Trump phenomenon. Yeah, the Donald Trump phenomenon. I noticed just before airtime that I don't have any stories that I found interesting about Donald Trump this past week, but I have found him interesting in general, okay? So I am going to address the Trump mania that is sweeping the silent majority who's been quiet since Richard Nixon stabbed them all in the back. And so we will get to some of that. But first, the bird whisperer, an update on the bird whisperer this week. For the first time in my life, I have seen a sparrow that lives in the backyard but can be called home for dinner by the bird whisperer. I saw the bird fly across the entire backyard. It's a quarter acre, the backyard. The bird flies across the whole thing, lands on the bird whisperer's finger. The bird whisperer cracks a beetle open like it's an egg and then drips the guts into the bird's mouth. It was something to see. It's a wild scene, man. And now the bird whisperer has invited another friend from church over who has captured her own sparrow to see if the feet can be duplicated. We don't know that this... We don't know that it's ever been done, for one thing, let alone to have it duplicated by another individual and another entirely different bird. It seems to be fantastical, beyond the realm of human comprehension, but it's happening, and it's been a lot of fun. Last night, it took the bird whisperer a good half an hour to call that bird home, and I thought, maybe that's it. The bird finally decided that she wanted to go hang around with other birds. But in short order, the bird whisperer engaged the magical sixth gear or whatever she has for birds. The bird came home. Oh, it was, I see. The bird whisperer's younger sister, Zoe, thought that she could duplicate the feet. Ah, but the bird whisperer herself, that's Nicole. She had to. The bird has to hear the certain pitch of the whisper in Nicole's voice in order to respond. Anyway, we will update you next week as to how the other young person who is trying to, I don't know what you'd call it. Anyway, they both have a sparrow. The sparrows are both in a cage, or they're both in separate cages. And we're going to see if they become friends this week, or they run off together, or what. But anyway, it should be fun. We're having a good time here at the McBurney compound. We hope you're doing the same here. Beautiful summer of 2015, and Donald Trump has stormed and struck and energized the nation, shocked the world. It's like Muhammad Ali and the Thriller in Manila. Every time Trump opens his mouth, you've got half the people cheering and the other half just ready to wet themselves. And while I have not always been on the side of the people cheering, I have not felt the need to wet myself. So I think maybe the fact that Donald Trump's just a plain-speaking guy, he's a plain-spoken person. And so many of us on the right, we've been duped into believing that there are certain things you just cannot say and be a politician, or at least you cannot say certain things and get elected. You cannot offend certain groups and get elected. There are certain things that are simply verboten if you want to win an election, and Donald Trump has broken all of them within the first 2 weeks. And he ends up number one in the polls, which I think is hilarious to watch. I can't remember if it was Lindsey Graham or John McCain who said, I can't remember because I can't tell the two apart. I mean, when I see them, I can, because John McCain at least looks like a man. Lindsey Graham, on the other hand, looks like a slope-shouldered gelatin person of indeterminate sex that I can't even define. At least John McCain looks like a man. But one of the two said this past week that Trump will destroy my party. A friend of mine posted that on Facebook. Not a real friend, just a Facebook friend. You know, the alternative to friends is Facebook friends. Some of my enemies are my friends on Facebook. One of the two said that Trump will destroy my party. And I replied, I said, please, yes, put them out of our misery. And I got a lot of likes to that. And that's supposed to make me feel good, I think. When people like what you post, it's supposed to be affirmation so that you feel good about yourself. All you people who liked my comment, thank you very much. I very much appreciate it. I probably would have a collapse in self-esteem if I posted something and nobody liked it. It would be horrible. It would be tragic. All right, so let's see. Lindsey Graham, John McCain. So Donald Trump, why is Donald Trump number one? And is he someone that we can support on the right? Well, I have declared publicly and on the radio even that I think Donald Trump's probably the most reachable of all of the 19 kids and counting who are running for the Republican nomination. Just because he's not a lawyer and he's not a career politician. I think I said that last week, as a matter of fact, if that counts. So he's reachable because he's not utterly corrupted, I think. I hope. I don't know. Do you think there's something in Donald Trump's past that's going to come out here in the next month or so? Who was the fellow, the pizza man? Who was the pizza delivery man who they found out was running around hotels with all kinds of women? Don King? No, not Don King.
Bill Cosby?
Bill Cosby. Oh, you're a pistol today. Look out. I can't remember his name. He's a colored fella. Nice enough guy. But we liked him, but it turns out that he was a serial adulterer, actually. I think he was married at the time. Anyway, you think there's anything that Trump has in his past that he doesn't want to come out?
Yeah?
Well, sure he does. But do you think they know about it? Well, there it is. Take it or leave it. Ah. Yeah, he may not fold up like a cheap suitcase the first time someone brings up the fact that I believe Donald Trump's divorced and cheated on his first wife. I forget. I don't want to say that. Trump's got lawyers. Mr. Trump, I didn't mean to insult you. I don't know why your first marriage ended, but I hope you're both happy. That's it. I hope you're still friends. All right. But Donald Trump, he speaks the truth, okay? Let's get that right out. He speaks the truth on a number of different things, but being unfamiliar with the source of truth, the Donald often offers misguided solutions. But they're half-baked solutions that are half-baked in the right direction, and they're certainly better than anything anyone else is saying, as far as I can tell. But I got to be honest with you, I haven't listened to the other 18 kids. I haven't really listened because most of them I never heard of, and the other ones, they don't impress me in any way. And the thing about Donald Trump is I think there's a good chance that when he started this, announcing for president and all, that he may not have been all that serious, or he may not have been sure. He was just going to ride it, see what happens, be good for business either way. And I think Donald Trump happens to be the type of fellow who does not lose very often. And when he sees an opportunity to win something significant, I think he could be fairly tenacious about it. And I think unless Lindsey Graham or John McCain actually put a hit on Donald Trump, that he could win the nomination. I think it's possible. That's all. But, yeah, we need to sit down with Donald because Donald needs some guidance. Because, as I say, while he often speaks the truth, he is unfamiliar with the source of truth, which is the living God, the creator God. And, Donald Trump might be the kind of guy who'd sit down and hear you out on that. Whereas Lindsey Graham, forget about it. The other ones, the lawyer from Texas that I never heard of, forget it. He never listened. Never. He didn't listen to his daddy, and he's not going to listen to you or me. And we're the only people who can help these slobs because we are the Christians. We have a relationship with the Creator God. We have the mind of Christ. We could help these ignorant, foolish politicians if they would just sit down and hear us out. And anyway, Donald might be willing to do that. Or perhaps it will simply happen due to events beyond the control of Mr. Trump or anyone else. And we can certainly hope for that. We hope that he sits down and talks with someone on the right wing who can point him in the right direction. Because he's almost there. I mean, he's hitting all around the bullseye, if you ask me. I mean, anything that makes the stone leftists freak out and march and just froth at the mouth and spit all over each other and just go into hissy fits. I mean, anyone who can do that, I feel like we could sit at a table together. I might could even vote for the guy because here's the thing. Being a Christian is not a requirement to be the president of the United States. That's not a requirement that I have. Just a couple of things, okay? You have to be against stomping on puppies, and you have to be against killing babies. That's just those two. The funny thing is, most politicians will meet you on the first one. I've never heard a politician come out with a pro-puppy stomping statement. But it's the second one that they have a hard time with, the not killing innocent people, which really is a statement about where we are along the highway to hell, is that you can get a politician to agree not to stomp on puppies, but when it comes to killing innocent people, he hesitates. He's not sure what to say. He thinks we should talk about economic issues. It's a states' rights issue. Let's leave it to the states. Anyway, so yeah, the murder of innocent people, that's one thing I will not compromise on. And you can call me a one-issue voter, but if you're the person who's going to be killed, that's the only issue, right? Think if it was you. All right, see, if I could sit down with Donald Trump for a half an hour, I could square that guy away. I could make him electable. Anyway. It's been fun to watch this week. Did I have anything else on Donald Trump? I know. I think that's it. Yeah. So I need one of you in the audience. I don't have Trump's number. Okay. And well, I haven't given him mine. But if you, if any of you want to give him my number, please feel free. I'd be happy to sit down with him. In fact, we should invite him for an interview. That's what we're going to do. We're going to invite Trump for an interview with the one man he needs to speak with on all the planet, and that's Bob Enyart. So I'll get to work on that this week in between my actual work, which takes up all my time, which means I won't get to this. No, I will. I'll try. I will. I'll have my people call his people is what I'll do. And we'll see if we can get Trump and Enyart together so that the one can help the other. And then the one who gets helped, maybe he can make a sizable donation since he's so rich. He's very rich, I think he pointed out in his announcement speech. He said, not only did he say he was rich, he said he was very rich. And that's all well and good. Okay, so there's politics. The whole first segment of the show wasted on politics? Well, we can't have that. Let's go to the news. A story from Calais, Maine. The Associated Press reports that a 22-year-old man who was drinking and celebrating the 4th of July tried to launch a firework off the top of his head and was killed instantly. He apparently put a mortar on his head. He put a mortar tube on his head. He told his friends that he was going to light it. His friend said, you know, we're not going to light it. We don't think it's a good idea. So he did it himself and was instantly killed when the mortar went off. The reason I bring this story up is that I believe this man is a victim of government regulators, and let me tell you why. The death of this particular gentleman was the first fireworks fatality in Maine since the state legalized fireworks 3 years ago. Beforehand, since 1949, I said, fireworks have been illegal in the state of Maine. So this poor, hapless young 22-year-old man grew up his entire life with no exposure to fireworks. He had no idea how dangerous they could be. And so what does he do in his state of ignorance? He tries to fire a mortar off his head. He ends up getting himself killed all because He's been raised like a kid with, you know, the kids with the helmet and the gloves and the elbow pads and the knee pads riding their bike. Well, they never learn reality by hitting the pavement with your skull and your elbows. Teach you a lesson, young man. It'll teach you to respect the physical laws of the universe and to be careful, for crying out loud. And don't do it when you're drunk. How about that? Let's not get drunk and start grabbing mortar tubes. And had the young man not been restricted by the government regulators from having an interaction with fireworks growing up, maybe this wouldn't have happened. And I would say to the regulators in Maine, please, if it could save just one life, wouldn't it be worth it? I am Doug McBurney, and this is The Weekly Worldview. Thank you. Now, we usually reserve that song for people we know went straight to hell with jet rockets. Let's say if John McCain or Lindsey Graham had just died. But this poor slob with the mortar tube, we don't know his story. I guarantee you he was surprised. Well, I can't argue with you there. All right. And so we will move on into... I don't know if it's more serious news. That was pretty serious news for that fella. But let's talk about the Benham brothers. CNS News reports that David and Jason Benham are saying they will not back down in their opposition to gay marriage. And they did this at an event sponsored by the Family Research Council last week. They said, we're not bowing to this agenda. That's, the Benham brothers, you remember them? Flip Benham's boys, they founded a multi-million dollar real estate empire, and then they got their chance at a TV reality show, which was canceled when they refused to take the mark and bow at the altar of homosexual supremacy. Well, not even that. They just said, we don't think boys should be marrying boys. That's all they said. And that's enough for them to lose their show. Their show was canceled by HGTV, Homo and Gay TV. At which point they still had not only a multi-million dollar real estate empire, but also a relationship with the living God that will last through all of eternity, while HGTV will be a footnote in someone's notebook somewhere down the road, maybe. The Benham brothers, on the other hand, they've stood fairly strong. David Benham said, if they're asking us to endorse gay marriage, you can kiss our show goodbye. We're not bowing to that agenda. And that's nice. To be against, is that what the bar is now? You're just supposed to be against homosexual marriage, and that makes you a conservative? So the bar is low. In fact, there was an interview with Flip Benham, Operation Save America, asked about how his sons handled the controversy, and Flip said, well, it was hard to watch because they were kind of soft. Flip would have said, not only am I against homosexual marriage, homosexuality is a sin that should be condemned and discouraged as a general behavior. Forget about him getting married. What do you want to know if I'm against? You want to know if I'm against homosexual dental care? Is that what the bar will be? I know, I stole that line from Bob Enyart. But I steal lines from all the best guys. Yeah, it's a great way to keep your chops up. Pay attention to what the smarter guys say, and then say that. So, Flip thought they were a little soft, but Flip was glad that they didn't bow, they didn't take the mark just to get their show, and they walk away with nothing more than multi-millions of dollars and a saving relationship with the creator of the universe and the godly wisdom that goes along with that will redound to their benefit for all of eternity, while the perverts at Homo and Gay TV keep putting homos on House Hunters. Just keep doing that. We're going to quit watching. Well, we do quit watching when we see that it's a pile of homos. Yeah, we're kind of off that show now. I mean, yeah, you know, that's the thing about reality TV, folks. If you get a reality TV show, save your pennies because it's going to be a short ride. Because you can only do so much before it becomes redundant and people realize, oh, this is just their regular life. I was saying to my extremely attractive audio engineer just last night, we should take our lives, make them interesting, and then put them on TV. Then we would have a reality show. But it would only last two seasons because after a while you start repeating yourself and just get out of here with that. All right. Let's see here. we go to the queer politics. Oh, wait a second. I got a note. Speaking of bowing and taking the mark to the homosexualists who are hell-bent on destroying themselves and as many other people as they can, my extremely attractive audio engineer earlier in the day sent me a list of companies that the lisping class has declared must be boycotted. Because they will not bow and say we can get married, this means war. And so we downloaded this list because now we're going to keep track of these companies. We're going to try and do business with these companies. And we're also going to see how long it takes each one of these companies to fold to the homosexual supremacists. And we're hoping they won't fold. But based on the track record of other companies, we don't have a lot of high hopes. But we are hoping that the homos have overplayed their hand, what with the misappropriation of marriage and all. Maybe that's enough to make the normal people sit up and say, hey, wait a second, that's disgusting. You know, and then we start looking around and we realize that there's all kinds of us, and there's only a few of them with their eyeliner and their clubbing. I mean, come on, people. We're going to let them take over the country? Anyway, companies that have not yet taken the mark, ladies and gentlemen, who the homos have called out to be boycotted. A1 Self-Storage, okay, hopefully we'll never need that. AutoZone has not taken the mark, okay, I already shopped there. Cracker Barrel Restaurants, never have eaten at a Cracker Barrel. No? Something about the whole, is it an all-you-can-eat type thing, the Cracker Barrel? We don't know. We have, right. Well, there you go. Just because they're against homos doesn't mean they can actually put a good meal on the table. I mean, come on. They may be. But the bar's pretty low if that's how you pick your restaurants. Only the ones who aren't for the queers marrying each other. Cinemark. I haven't watched a movie. I believe that's a movie company. They have 2,700 movie screens. I have not watched a movie since Expelled by that Jewish fella. It's Ben Stein, yeah. That's the last movie I watched. And before that, I watched The Passion of the Christ. And before that, I watched the Revolutionary War movie by Mel Gibson. And that's it. That's the last 15 years of movies that I've watched. So I can't. There's no way I can patronize Cinemark. Dish Network. Dish Network hasn't taken the mark. Dish Network?
Yeah, so they're good now.
Well, no, Dish Network is like the third largest purveyor of pornography in the world. But they, well, like the bar is pretty low. Okay, let's get that right out there.
I sent you had only five companies.
Well, yeah, but I went to a more detailed, angry, really gnashing of the teeth homo webpage. Well, this is true. We don't know. That's true. A lot of these may have folded. Domino's Pizza, Exxon Mobil, Gulfland Entertainment Centers.
So currently only five.
Oh. Insure.com, insurance. Manchester Grand Resorts, that's a nice hotel. I stayed there just a couple of months ago in San Diego. Meyer Incorporated, OutsidePride.com, the Salvation Army. How can the homos be mad at the Salvation Army? They're like overtly Christian. They have the cross right there on their building. You going to be mad at them? But that's the thing about the homos. They want it all, and they want it now. Yeah. In fact, one of the most famous homos wrote a song. I think that was the title. He died of AIDS, by the way. A Freddie Mercury, for crying out loud. All right, Urban Outfitters and Walmart stores.
See,
Walmart's already folded. This is an older list.
I doubt
All right, ladies and gentlemen, if there's anyone on that list that has already folded up and taken the mark, well, you can let me know, and we'll start crossing them off. But what can you do? Hey, we hope for the best around here. Oh, yeah, Chick-fil-A. That was up there right at the very top. Sorry, I missed Chick-fil-A. But we all know Chick-fil-A. Haters. Chick-fil-A is full of haters. Yeah, Exxon I got here, Exxon Mobil. That's where we buy our gas. And if anyone's going to drill an oil well on my property, it's going to be Exxon Mobil. Thank you very much.
It might be
ISIS. Well, yeah, you never know. So there we have it. At least hopefully these companies haven't yet, but we'll just see. But one organization that has taken the mark and has bowed before the agenda is the government of Oregon, the state government of Oregon. Aaron and Melissa Klein, the owners of Sweet Cakes by Melissa, have been told that if they don't pay the $135,000 awarded to a pair of lesbians who sued them, then they are going to get a lien put against their home. Yet the state is saying they're going to put a lien against the private residence of these pizza makers if they don't pay up. Their case is on appeal, and the couple's worried that if they win the appeal, even if they win their appeal, they'll never get their money back. How do you ever try to get a lien off something that the government without? Yeah, oh, it's brutal. They say that this is intimidation and bullying by the state of Oregon, which is obviously true. And listen to this. Oregon, the state of Oregon, has placed a gag order on the Kleins that makes it illegal for them to talk openly about their desire not to participate and profit in same-sex weddings. Yeah. Uh-huh. The administrative judge there said the commissioner of the Bureau of Labor and Industries hereby orders the Kleins to cease and desist from publishing, circulating, issuing, or displaying, or causing to be published any communication to the effect that any of the accommodations will be refused, withheld from, or denied to, or that any discrimination be made against any person on account of their sexual order. Basically, the judge has told them, get in line! Bow down, and they say they're not gonna take it. All right. So just a note to some of my nicer Christian friends. A lot of you have been convinced that this is really about love and just letting people love whoever they want to love and all that. What does it have to do with us? And how does it hurt us to let the homosexuals get married, live? They just want to love each other. Can't we be nice? Folks, if you hang out with people who march in the pride parades for just a little while, and I have, okay, because I've worked with some of these people, and I've actually been to a gay pride parade once. Never do that again. If you hang out with these people, you'll find out in short order that they're the most hateful, spiteful, bullying, nasty people you'll ever meet. They hate each other so obviously. Deep down, hateful resentment of each other and themselves. That you know that allowing them, you should know, you should realize, that allowing them to continue with their destructive lifestyle, well, that would be you hating them. And to allow them to assume supremacy in the culture is suicide. And it's criminal, as a matter of fact. Any state governing official that says homosexuality is anything other than a crime, in my opinion, that governing official is committing a crime himself, and he should be impeached and removed from office. But I want to talk about the homosexuals for a second, because people think I hate them. So I hate the homosexualist. I hate the homosexual supremacists. I hate the gay rights movement. I hate that. But I don't hate the individual people, okay? I've worked with a number of these people, all righty? And I know that in most cases, their lifestyle and their advocacy, even their need to be out in the open about everything they do in their bedroom, which most of us don't do. I mean, I don't talk about that kind of stuff in public. Do you, as a heterosexual normal person, do you? I mean, if you do, I think you're probably some kind of pervert. But most people just don't. But these people are they define themselves by what they do in there. And that's just, most of them I've met and gotten to know are obviously overcompensating for enormous pain in their life. Enormous pain. Usually arising from their relationship with their father, a broken relationship with a horrible father, or they're compensating for the enormous pain surrounding their molestation as a child by a homosexual man. And so I don't hate these people. I love these people. And the reason I don't want the homosexual supremacists to succeed is twofold. Number one, my family, my children, I don't want them taken. And number two, the people themselves, the homosexuals in the movement who've been deceived into pushing this supremacism as some way to try to compensate for the pain in their life, I'd rather try to help them deal with that pain in their life. But I'm certainly not going to start that conversation by telling them that what they're doing is okay. Right, I think that's sort of a theme around here for the month of July. Well, maybe the whole summer, that it's not love. Just because you say it's love, it doesn't make it love. And you can't fool me. All right? So, there. Let's see, a Baptist university, Baylor University. This is from the Queering of America file. Baylor has dropped the homosexual acts language from their from their misconduct policy. They will no longer punish people for homosexual acts. Baylor, a formerly Christian university, used to allow the dismissal of students or faculty for homosexual acts. But they've dropped that, but their policy does mandate disciplinary action for adultery and fornication, which we can support that. At least Baylor hasn't totally bailed. I have a quote here from Shane Windmeyer. He's a member of Campus Pride. Campus Pride. Pride goeth before a fall. Let's put that in the title of our... We know God hates pride. So let's put that, like, in the title. He's with Campus Pride. He says, quote, "You can't continue to have a college that is seen as hateful, that is seen as discriminatory toward gay people, regardless of whether that college be Christian or otherwise. This means war." The homo's upset that they still put fornication and adultery in there, obviously, because homosexuality is fundamentally means adultery and fornication. Yeah, it's adultery and fornication by another name. Thank you, boys. Thank you very much. That's just what you need, an 80s hair metal band to drive home the point that it's not love, okay? You can't call that love. And you can't call it marriage, by the way, either. And we're not going to let you get away with that one. I think you homos have overplayed your hand, you homosexualists and homosexual supremacists. You've overplayed your hand, and you're about to get a backlash, you pervert, you disgusting perverts, okay? Meanwhile, from the Good Religion file, Russell Wilson is a quarterback in the NFL. He is a quarterback for a team called the Seattle Seahawks, which I assume are from somewhere in the Northwest. He made an appearance at a church in San Diego this past weekend. I'm sorry, weekend before. There's a Christian church in San Diego, apparently. We think so, because they allowed him to, number one, he was able to be openly devout about his faith in Jesus Christ. Yeah, right there in, on stage. He also talked about his relationship with his girlfriend, singer Sierra Harris. Are we familiar with this singer, Sierra Harris? We have no idea who this person is, but I'm sure she's a lovely person. He says that he and Sierra have made the decision to remain celibate until they get married. And he was not driven from the stage and had rocks thrown at him, so he must have been in a Christian church. He says, I told her what you would do if we took all that extra stuff off the table. He said, what would you do if we took all that extra stuff off the table, meaning sex, and just do it Jesus way? And she said, that's fine by me. she's completely agreed with the fact that we can love each other without that. And if you can love somebody without that, Russell Wilson said. Now listen to this, kids, because this is profound. Russell Wilson, NFL quarterback, quarterback's not necessarily known for profundity. Athletes in general, not necessarily known for profundity. But listen to this, kids, because Russell Wilson is about to say something profound. He says of sex before marriage, if you can love somebody without that, then you can really love somebody. Wow. The truer words have rarely been spoken. And I want to thank Russell Wilson for just standing up and just being a normal person and speaking the truth. That's brave these days to just stand up and say that we're going to be celibate until we're married because that's the way Jesus wants it. Now, what Russell Wilson is going to find out is that about 70% of the population will either support him in that or they'll at least not make fun of him. Now, there's 30% that are hardcore on their way straight to hell, God-hating heathens, who'll make fun of him and whatever. That 30% is always there. But what Russell Wilson is showing us is that there are still a vast majority of people out there who are just normal people who want to do good. And a lot of people out there on the left or people who don't consider themselves right-wing or Christian, well, they may not be overtly Christian, but they're at least afraid of God. They don't want to make him mad. And so if we would just stand up and speak the truth, the people who hate God would sit down and shut up and stay in the closet. And a portion of them would actually end up finding the truth in their Creator and Jesus Christ who saved the world. I mean, that's how we could help people get saved if we're just not afraid to stand up and speak the truth. Now, let's go from Russell Wilson and the Seattle Seahawks Football Club to the Big Mountain Jesus in Montana. The Freedom From Religion Foundation, as you can well imagine, has sued the Montana government to have a World War II memorial known as Big Mountain Jesus removed from a Montana ski slope. So this is the Freedom From Religion Foundation. They don't believe God is real, but they're terrified of anything that has anything at all to do with anything to do with God or Jesus Christ. They absolutely freak out and go apoplectic if they see an image or a statement or a book that mentions God or Jesus Christ in a positive way. They absolutely freak out. And they're doing so in Montana, and it's obviously irrational. Because I don't believe in the flying spaghetti monster, but if the atheists wanted to put up a statue of him and have a whatever, they could have a full-blown charity. They could have a church, and they could get married in it, and it wouldn't bother me in the least. I wouldn't go protest the spaghetti monster church. I'd be happy to debate them. I certainly wouldn't deny them any public accommodation, okay? But the atheists freak out. Now, the statue, ladies and gentlemen, was erected by the Knights of Columbus, which right there should have been a clue to the atheists. It's the Knights of Columbus, okay? Another group, they got the cross right there. It's right in there. It's in all their, it's on the letterhead, for crying out loud. Anyway, the Knights of Columbus put up the statue in 1954, and now the atheists, they just can't take it anymore. So the issue is now before the Ninth Circuit Court of Schlemiels, who will determine whether the popular memorial can remain. I know, I stole that line from Michael Savage. Okay, fine. All right. But, you know, Imitation is the sincerest form of flattery, and then outright ripping off people's lines. I mean, that's utter. That is just utter flattery. And besides, I'm giving Mr. Savage credit. The ninth jerk at Court of Schlemiel's is quite possibly the best one-liner ever uttered on the radio regarding the Ninth Circuit Court. I'm sorry. You just can't get any better than that, so just use it, all right? Anyway, these Schlemiel's, right, they think, listen to how, this is from Breitbart, and even the reporters at Breitbart, they fall into a false paradigm. They actually assert that the Ninth Circuit Court will determine whether this memorial can remain, and that's just not the case. That's not the case. I'll bet if the Ninth Circuit says that has to be torn down, I'll bet if the Ninth, I'll bet that if veterans and old guys in the Knights of Columbus say that no, you can't tear it down, I'll bet that the Ninth Circuit can't do it. And I'll bet you the Ninth Circuit can't find an army unit who'll go do it. What are they going to do, cut down the Knights of Columbus and the veterans? Do you think the sheriff there in Montana is going to go and, I don't think so. So this idea that, the judicial supremacists, they have no clothes. Words that they say is now the law of the land, like the fact that homosexuals can get married. They say these things, and they've got us trained to believe that we have to follow them. But they have no clothes. They can't force us to do any of this stuff. There's not a single justice on the court who has an army. And these perverts and supremacists are pushing things to the point, ladies and gentlemen, where there is going to be a fight, a physical fight over these things. You cannot steal a culture from 300 million people and destroy it in front of our faces without some kind of reaction. At some point, there is going to be a sheriff who stands up and says, no more. No, we're not going to let this go any further. And you people on the court, fine, if you want to declare it for wherever you live, you go ahead. But where we live, we're not going to kill babies, we're not going to stomp on puppies, and we're not going to allow homosexuals to destroy themselves and others by promoting their destructive lifestyle. That's it. And the sheriff's going to stand there with a gun, and what are the justices going to do? They're going to wet themselves. That's all they're going to do. All right. The Ninth Circuit's going to tear down Big Mountain Jesus. I dare you. I dare you. All right. Let's see here. Here's another guy I never heard of, one of the 19 kids and counting. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker is set to sign legislation consenting to 95% of all abortions in America. Yeah, right on the eve of his announcement that he's running for president, and for some reason the pro-life industry says that he's putting social conservatives at the forefront of his campaign. You see, Scott Walker is going to sign a bill that says it's okay in Wisconsin to kill 95% of the babies that are being killed, but 5% of them, we just want to take a second look, and we'll probably let you kill them too, but we just want to, yeah. They're going to ban abortion, allegedly, after 20 weeks of gestation. This is the biggest scam in the pro-life industry's history. They've raised millions of dollars convincing Christians that the conservative thing to do is to consent to 95% of all abortions. If you'll just stand up and say, I'm against a few, you can call yourself pro-life. And that's what Scott Walker's getting away with here. I have a quote from the American Principles Project, some schlemiel. I hope that's not a dirty word. I haven't looked into that. My Yiddish is a little rusty. I know a lot of those words tend to have, bathroom connotations. Anyway. This fellow president of the American Principles Project says of Scott Walker consenting to 95% of all abortions, he says, I think it makes clear that Scott Walker is a social conservative. It bolsters his social conservative bona fides. So Frank over at the American Principles Project, he thinks that we can all be bamboozled by this. And Scott Walker, obviously following the first rule of Republican primary politics. First, bamboozle the Christians. And they're getting so easy to bamboozle that they've been convinced that supporting abortion before 20 weeks is conservative. I know you say, well, Doug, they're not saying they support it. They're just trying to save 5 out of 100. Isn't that wonderful? No, it's not wonderful when you consent to the 95. It's not wonderful when you consent to one abortion. It's wrong, and it's not conservative, and it's not pro-life. Social conservatives, according to reports, have remained skeptical of Walker, but passage of this 20-week abortion ban should help burnish his conservative credentials. Family Matters in Iowa says that this action, Scott Walker, supporting 95%+ of all abortions, that will give him the good housekeeping seal, they called it, the good housekeeping seal. All you have to do is stand up and say, I'm against a few abortions, and suddenly that has become conservatism, and that's another lie that we can't let these people get away with. You can't be just against killing some innocent people. That's not principled. You have to be against killing all innocent people, and if you're not, you're not a conservative. Hey, it's not the 60s anymore, okay? Pull your bra out of the fire. It's not the 60s, and any law regarding abortion that does not acknowledge the personhood of the innocent unborn child is counterproductive and not conservative and not pro-life. And this 20-week abortion ban implicitly states that there is a time when you can kill an unborn child, denying the personhood of that unborn child. And if you people think you can regulate the murder of innocent people, you're wrong. We've tried it for 40 years. It hasn't worked. I'm repeating myself. I'm sick of the topic. Unbelievable how far we've fallen as conservatives. The conservative movement is in shambles. It's pathetic. It's no wonder Donald Trump impresses everyone. If you just walk out there and just don't be a complete slack-jawed loser, semi-liberal, apologize for everything, kiss everybody's hindquarters. That's what Republicans do. And Donald Trump comes out and doesn't do it, and suddenly he's the conservative vanguard. He's the conservative standard bearer, just because he still has testicles. That's all it takes anymore. He wouldn't know conservative if it jumped up and kicked him in the chin. But just because he doesn't fold up under pressure and start crying and apologizing to mentally ill sex perverts, that becomes the standard. All right. I'm just upset by the whole thing, obviously. All right. I'm still willing to sit down with Mr. Trump because I know he needs my help. All right, there's an archbishop, a former Polish archbishop. He was about to go on trial for pedophilia at the Vatican, but he ended up in intensive care. He got sick. He had been accused of, I don't want to go into that. So he gets sick before. This is the first time, by the way, the Vatican has actually prosecuted a priest for molesting boys. And they don't even say boys in this story because that's verboten. You're not allowed to say who these priests were molesting. It was boys, by the way. It was homosexual molestation. Anyway, I wanted to do this story because this pervert, Joseph Wesolowski, he was ordained a priest in Krakow, Poland, 1972, by Pope John Paul, the future Pope John Paul II. people often forget that Pope John Paul II, also known as Karol Wojtyla, he participated in and presided over the church during the time when the homosexualists literally took over the priesthood. I know everyone lauds the Pope for helping topple communism, but again, to me, that's just like being against stomping on puppies. You're against communism? That doesn't make you a conservative. You're letting homosexuals into the priesthood left and right. You're allowing the cardinals to just shuffle these child molesters around for 30 years as the Pope, and I'm supposed to call you some great conservative? I know I shouldn't insult the Pope, especially Pope John Paul. He's one of the most popular popes. But I mean, I'm sorry. I'm just going to call it like I see it. He did what he did against the communists. Great. Wow, that's impressive. He was against enslaving hundreds of millions of people. Wow. That may, anyway. All right. By the way, June 30th deadline with Iran passed with very little fanfare. Did you even know there was a June 30th deadline? Of course, nobody knew because nobody took it seriously. The idiot Republicans in the Congress, they set a July deadline, July 9th. Listen to how stupid these people are. The Republicans told Obama, if you don't come up with a deal by July 9th, then any deal you come up with, we're going to delay it for 2 months while we look at it. Meanwhile, ladies and gentlemen, the centrifuges are spinning in Iran, and that's all they care about. They don't care about who wins the political victory. They don't care if it's Obama. They don't care if it's Boehner. They don't care who it is. They just want to keep those centrifuges spinning. And as of today, July, well, I don't know what day it is. It's after July 9th. The centrifuges are still spinning. And any deal that John Kerry hatches with these Islamo-fascist crazies, it's going to be 2 months. That might just be enough time for them to nuke Tel Aviv. And that's all they want. They just want to keep them spinning, and they have done just that, at least at last. Benjamin Netanyahu, by the way, the story that I was referring to from CNN, Benjamin Netanyahu is warning of a terrible deal with Iran. And I guarantee you he's staying up late at night because he knows he's going to be the one who has to bomb the Islamo-Nazi fascist crazies. That's not going to be fun for anybody, I can tell you that. That's going to be very ugly. All right, Japan. Let's go to Japan. Japan has a growing problem of millions of young adults, mostly men, who lock themselves in their bedrooms and refuse to come out. And they do this for days, weeks, months, even years at a time. Yeah, they tend to sleep during the day, and at night they surf the internet. According to some researchers, hikikomori is triggered by the high expectations of Japanese parents and society. That's what they call this, by the way. Hikikomori. That means a stupid teenager who never leaves his room, apparently. Something like that. Oh, it means rolled, curled up in a ball, like the fetal position. I'm upset at the reporters here who say that some researchers say, well, who cares what some researchers say? Maybe the problem is the sewer pipe of pornography being pumped into every Japanese household. Maybe that's a bigger problem than high expectations of Japanese parents and society. The high expectations of parents and society are the only thing that keeps society from collapsing into total self-absorption and narcissism, which is what all teenagers are capable of, if there's not someone there to slap them into reality. Anyway, this is a huge problem in Japan. 33% of Japanese in a recent survey said they believe that marriage is pointless. The same survey reported that nearly a quarter of Japanese youth have no interest whatsoever in a romantic relationship. That's disastrous. Disastrous. By the way, the birth rate in 2014 in Japan, there were 300,000 less births than deaths. So they're not even replacing themselves in Japan. They're literally committing a cultural suicide right before. And their teenage boys are spending their days and nights in their room with internet pornography rather than out looking for a gainful employment and a girl. And money and girls. That's what we wanted when I was a teenager. We wanted to go out and find money and girls, and we were willing to leave our room and work for it. And it's a double-edged sword because young men can do foolish things, but you have to have that motivation. You have to at least be able to leave your room. And Japanese, and Japan, by the way, I consider something of a canary in the coal mine because they're very similar to the West, except that their fall is accelerated. It's exponentially faster than ours is because we stripped away their entire culture at the end of World War II and basically put ours on them. And so they've got no fallback position. And they're falling faster than we are, and they're falling fast, and it's horrible. All right. See, we have a little bit more time. China. China. Let's go from Japan to China. It's a short ride. China's stock market is collapsing. Have you all seen this? And in order to stop it, Chinese communist authorities in China dispatched police and security personnel last week to encourage insider buying and to arrest short sellers. Talk about market controls. Arresting short sellers. China also took action to nationalize about $6 trillion in stock losses. China last week suffered a financial collapse equivalent to the stock crash in the West in 2008 and 9. But because they're communist dictators, they're allowed to say that it doesn't matter. We're just going to continue on. Well, the bottom line is it does matter, and they're not going to be able to continue on. The Chinese red dragon economy that everyone's been so impressed with for the last 20 years has been built on lies and murder and slavery and smoke and mirrors and more lies and more murder and more slavery. And I'm sorry, murder and slavery may work for a little while, but in the end, it always collapses. And this report, let's see, who did this? Stratford's John Minich points out that he opines that China is about to suffer the worst negative wealth effect of any nation since the U.S. Great Depression, and they're not going to be able to talk their way out of it or murder their way out of it or arrest their way out of it because mathematics, unfortunately, and economics are impervious to political will in the long run. In the long run, politics don't matter as much as math. Eventually, math wins. And at some point, someone's going to say, well, I'm not going to loan any more money. I'm out. And then the next guy's going to say, I'm out. And then because of that, other people are going to have to get out. And then, well, Katie, bar the door. All right. So let's see. Wind power. We have a windmill farm that is visible at night from the McBurney compound. It looks like a blanket of red lights. And it makes noises that are eerie. It sounds like a pile driver going down into the center of the earth. It's bizarre. You stand out there and listen to it. It's a strangely rhythmic thumping, and it's annoying. Well, it turns out wind farms are even more expensive and pointless than you thought, according to research conducted at Utah State University. The true cost of wind makes it completely worthless. Do I need to go into details on this? Nah, let's leave that aside. Wind power is a complete farce, okay? Let's see. States across the union are on the brink of financial collapse because they cannot pay the massive pensions that they have promised. It's from USA Today. They report that northeastern states in the United States who have big pension obligations are at great risk. And they say that while most state governments now have enough money to pay their short-term bills, one common burden is the commitment to pay out the huge sums in pensions. So, folks, grandparents. My grandparents were told that they probably wouldn't need their kids because they were going to get something called Social Security. And then my parents' generation, they grew up fully believing that they would have Social Security, and basically buying into the line that the government gave them that, well, you don't want to be a burden to your kids. So you're not going to need your kids. We're going to take care of it. We got Social Security, right? So now we have grandparents are actually stealing from their grandchildren through the government. I mean, the government's doing it. The government's doing the actual theft. And they're doing this partly, the grandparents are actually now stealing from their grandchildren, partly because the government told the grandparents they wouldn't need their grandkids to take care of them. Well, it turns out they do, right? The government lied. All you grandmas and grandpas out there, you are going to need your kids and your grandkids to take care of you. Well, anyway, the grannies, they taught their kids they wouldn't have to take care of them. Well, we were all lied to, basically, willingly lied to, because we all wanted to spend more now, right? That's what we all want. We have to fight against that urge to just spend it all. So we're all lied to. But there should have been a safety mechanism in place, you see, so that the grandparents would not steal from the grandchildren. There should have been a safety mechanism, and that safety mechanism should have been love. The grandparents and the parents and you and I, we should all realize at some point that we can't keep doing this. We're literally robbing our grandchildren who haven't even been born yet. We should love each other enough not to do that. But the love of many has gone cold because the government has convinced people that they can take care of us and that they are the ultimate authority, that they are supreme. The Supreme Court even calls itself the Supreme Court. So the safety mechanism, love, that's been destroyed. And now we're actually stealing from the generation's future for whom we should be laying up treasure for the young folks. Why? Because we love them. Or we should love them. We should love each other enough not to steal from one another. But the government, somewhere along the line, convince people that it would be okay, that not only would you not need your kids, but that you don't even have to love your kids. In fact, now you can even take their wealth before they're even born and you don't have to feel bad about it. And so the generations, they don't love each other. In fact, they hate each other. And that's disastrous. It has disastrous implications for the future of Western civilization. And that's why I recommend a relationship with the living God, the creator of the universe, Jesus Christ, his son, who saved the whole world, and who can teach us how to love one another once again, and to stop stealing from one another, and stop killing one another, and stop encouraging each other in unhealthy, destructive lifestyles. Jesus Christ can teach us how to do that if we will look to him and let him. And now we go to the science, really, file. Yes, Dr. Christopher Leonard spoke at a Australian university last week about robots he's developing to pick fruits and detect and kill weeds. Yes? Yeah, he hopes that he hoped to be well on the way towards a commercial fruit picking design by the end of next year. Robots that pick fruit. Robot farmers. I think it's a great idea. Large machines, he says, these big tractors we use now, he says they do a lot of damage to the soil. His robots will be smaller. Problems with herbicide resistance are costing farms millions, but the good doctor says that robots could help solve this problem. They could go out all day and all night and kill weeds manually without using poison. That's pretty cool. He says this is close to commercial application. And one problem that he says the robots would solve is harvesting labor shortages. Were you aware of this? That throughout the world, farms and farmers are plagued at harvest time with not enough harvesters. I know, you hear about jobs Americans won't do. Well, apparently, they won't do it just about anywhere. It's hard for farmers to find quality people to harvest their crops. And so I'm all for the robots. I think it's a great idea. In fact, if he comes out with one, we'll buy one here at the McBurney compound as we begin our farming career out here. And, well, that's about it for the show. Yes, he needs something to kill mosquitoes. I tell you what, that's what we need. Yes, a mosquito-killing robot. One thing nobody told us about the prairie. Yeah, that's it. It walks around all day going. All right, That's it from the Weekly Worldview. So glad you joined us. I want to thank my friends at Denver Bible Church at AmericanRightToLife.com, or just American Right to Life. Theology Online, and my other brother Daryl, who makes it all happen here in the Weekly Worldview Studios. Should the Lord tarry, we will return. And until then, may the grace of God go with you, and may the peace of Jesus Christ be upon you.